In the last 6 months of the First World War, Germany sent 6 submarines to America at intervals starting in April to lay mines along the shipping lanes, attack merchantmen, drive the fishing fleet ashore, and to try to force the country to call back part of its European fleet for home defence. And in any case, to give America, geographically aloof from the war, a taste of what war was like. These activities were overshadowed at the time by graver events, or hidden by military secrecy. Few people even today know that ships were sunk and men killed by German U-boats within sight of the American coast.
One good kick knocked the escape panel out the wall and gave access to the steps by the basement. As I skirted the rubble on the floor, the robot's fingers snapped out at my leg. But I've been waiting for that, and they closed about 2 inches short. I've been followed by enough police robots to know how indestructible they are. You can blow them up or knock them down and they keep coming after you, dragging themselves by one good finger and spouting saccharine morality all the while. That's what this one was doing. Give up my life a crime and pay my debt to society and such. I could still hear his voice echoing down the stairwell as I reached the basement.
So, what does Gary Becker think is the most addictive thing on Earth? Well, first it's worth considering what it means for something to be addictive. It is generally agreed that something is addictive if, once you start consuming it, you want to consume more and more of it. Over time, you build up a tolerance to it. Pursuit of it leads you to sacrifice everything else in your life to get it. And there is a period of withdrawal when you stop using it. No doubt alcohol and crack cocaine fit that description well. In Becker's view, however, there is something more addictive than substances. People. One golden morning, Mrs. Apple got up early. She planned to go to the fields behind the cottage to pick blackberries to make blackberry and apple jam.
"Shall we go too?" said George.
"I think not," said Shush. "We've got too much to do."
Indeed they had. The bees to look at, the hens to talk to, and of course the woodshed to look after. The old milk horse, Brownie, was standing inside the gate at the blackberry field.
"Good morning, good morning," he said, rubbing his head against her. "How nice to see friends. Beautiful day after a beautiful night. Blackberries are ripe and there are a few mushrooms. Horse mushrooms, you understand, if you look for them."
They are hunters, with muscles taut and eyes fixed on their intended prey. They are gentle, with fluid movement and a sensitive touch. They are regal, with a lineage that goes back to worshipped ancestors during the time of the pharaohs. They are introspective, aloof, unpredictable, affectionate, comical, and mischievous. They are cats.
"Run! Hide, children, because wherever you go, whatever you do, my men will follow you, track you, find you. By the prints from your fingers and the sound of your footsteps, and I will kill you and show your mangled corpse to future adventurers and say, 'This is why you should fear me. There is no escape.'"